And many of us, we need an obligation. We need a reason, you know. You don't make biscuits like my mother. Yeah, and you don't bring home the dough like my dad either. You just don't do anything anymore. And so, you know, we need to have a reason. We need to have a purpose.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Demonstrations of Loyalty in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Demonstrations of Loyalty in Relationships.
That Ruth and the other daughter-in-law were right there with Naomi. They were with her in the good times. And then we see when her son dies, when things get bad and it's very easy to jump ship, that they stayed right there with her. See, you know, what we have many times in the Christian faith is what I call fair weather loyalty. And that is, it's easy to be loyal in the good times. That when things are going good, it's easy to be loyal. But when things start to go wrong, then many of us want to jump ship. I had a picture of a ship up here. I don't know if you can get to it, but somebody told me this, that when the ship starts to sink, the rats are the first to jump. When the ship starts to sink, the rats are the first to jump. And we see that in many relationships, when things begin to go bad, that people want to jump. They don't want to try to hang in there and work through it. They don't want to try to hang in there and see how they can work through situations. But the easiest thing to do is, the song, as the songwriter said, let's just kiss and say goodbye. Let's just go our separate ways. But this is the true test of character, and this is the true test of loyalty. Are you willing to stick in there and hang with them in the difficult times? Now, one thing I will profess, and those of you who know me know this to be true about me, and that is that when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I am a fair weather fan. I love the Steelers, and I cheer for the Steelers, and I root for the Steelers, but whenever they start to lose, I'm the first one to jump ship. I ain't gonna lie. I'm the first one to start to get critical. I'm the first. I had a Super Bowl party at my house, and when Larry Fitzgerald, in the last quarter, caught that ball and ran for the touchdown, and the Steelers didn't hardly have any time left, I went outside and started chipping the ice off my driveway. I ain't gonna lie, I jumped ship real quick. I left the brothers inside my house. Then all of a sudden I heard a bunch of noise in my house. And I'm outside chipping ice. Some of you brothers were there, so you know this truth. And I came back in just in time to watch Santonio catch that ball. Yeah, yeah, yeah! Fair weather. Fair weather, all the way on fair weather. And the sad thing is that, you know, as funny as that is in reference to a sports team, you know, we got many people, as far as their loyalty is concerned, that they're fair weather. They're only happy when things are good. They're only excited when things are good. But as soon as things start to go bad, they jump ship. And I thank God for Ruth, that Ruth, when she had a husband, that she hung in there with Naomi. And then when she lost her husband, she didn't jump ship, but she stayed right there with her. So loyalty is demonstrated when times are good and when times are bad. I heard the story about Babe Ruth, who was probably one of the greatest home run hitters of all times. Notice I didn't say the greatest, but one of the greatest home run hitters of all times. And during the twilight years of his career, he started to wane a little bit, and the New York team traded him to Atlanta. And he was in Atlanta, and they were playing Cincinnati. And Babe Ruth had made a couple of errors in which the other team scored about five runs. Babe Ruth came up to the plate, and he didn't do anything at the plate. And they took Babe Ruth out of the game. And as he was walking off the field, the fans began to boo him. And they started booing almost everyone to a person. And there was a little boy that jumped out on the field, and he ran over to Babe Ruth, and he hugged his leg. And Babe Ruth hugged him back. Babe Ruth picked him up and gave him a hug, and they walked off the field into the dugout holding hands. Here's a young boy, when everybody else had given up, when everybody else had turned against him, here's a little boy that stayed faithful all the way to the end. And that's what loyalty does. Loyalty says, I will see this thing through to the end. That I'm not going to give up, as easy as it would be to give up on it. And you know what? It'd probably be a lot less headache and a lot less frustration for me. But because I am loyal, because I'm in this, that I am in it to win it. I'm in it to work it out. The second thing we see about loyalty is that it is demonstrated when there is no reason to be obligated. When there's absolutely no reason to be obligated, loyalty hangs right in there. Look at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal with you kindly as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each one in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Naomi released them from even having to go with her. Naomi said, return to your mother's house. And that in returning to your mother's house, maybe you will get a husband. And as a result of you getting a husband, then you will have your own life. So what I'm doing is I'm releasing you from any commitment or any obligation. You have to stay with me. Thank God for Ruth. Even though Ruth was released, she hung in there when there was no obligation to stay. And many of us, we need an obligation. We need a reason, you know. You don't make biscuits like my mother. Yeah, and you don't bring home the dough like my dad either. You just don't do anything anymore. And so, you know, we need to have a reason. We need to have a purpose. And I thank God for Ruth, because there was no obligation on her part. And this shows you what true love really is. True love is when you're not obligated, that you choose to remain loyal to that relationship. When there's no reason, no earthly reason why you should stay, you stay loyal. And so we see that, you know, even in the marriage vows, where we say till death do us part, that there is an obligation to be loyal all the way to the end. Even sometimes, when it seems like you're not getting anything out of that relationship at all, Agape love. Agape love. The same love that God showed us when he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. That's the same love that's in there. And we give that. We offer that. When we're absolutely getting nothing from the other person. The obligation to stay there. A third thing we see about loyalty is that loyalty is demonstrated when there's nothing to be gained. Loyalty is demonstrated when there's nothing to be gained. There's absolutely nothing that you can get by staying in this relationship. Now, once again, and let me back this train up because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. There are some relationships that you need to let go. All right, I've talked about that in the past, so, you know, there are some relationships. If you're in a relationship that's draining you, if you're in a relationship, now, once again, I'm not talking to married folk. I'm talking to other people, other relationship, all right, because some people say, well, I was just waiting for you to say that. No, I'm not talking to you. You know, there's some folk that are in relationship that they don't, you don't need to be in, all right? Because it's not a healthy relationship for you. But I'm talking about if you're in healthy relationships. Sometimes in those healthy relationships, there's nothing to be gained. Ruth was in a healthy relationship right here. Even though her mother-in-law was dealing with some issues, you know, Ruth, God put Ruth in her life to help her out. And we see that, what did Ruth give up? If you look in your notes this morning, it is demonstrated when there is nothing to be gained. Ruth had more to gain by staying in Moab than to going to Judah. In verse 9, Naomi prayed that the Lord would grant her daughter-in-laws a place of security with another husband. If Ruth stayed in Moab, there was a great possibility of her finding another husband, but by going with Naomi, she was giving up pretty much that possibility altogether in her mind. So there was nothing to be gained by her hanging with Naomi. And not only that, but Naomi assures her, and according to Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10, that if there were brothers in a household, and one of the brothers got married, and that brother died, then it was the obligation of one of the other brothers to marry his wife. Now, the problem is that Naomi only had two sons. Both of them died. And so there was nobody for Ruth to marry. And so Naomi says to her, you know, I don't even have a husband myself. And if I was to get married tonight and get pregnant, by the time this child grow up, it would still be too late. And it would be very unlikely that you would even wait for this child to grow up so that you would have a husband. So why don't you just go back? There's nothing to be gained by going with me. You're not going to have a husband, and maybe you even want to have children, and you're not even going to have children if you hang with me. But Ruth was loyal. And Ruth hung in there when there was nothing to be gained on her part. Some people, sad to say, can be bought. Their loyalty can be bought. You know, I have a slide up here where somebody asked the question, what would you do for $10 million? What would you do for $10 million? They asked, would you abandon your family? Would you abandon your church? Would you become a prostitute for a week? Would you leave your spouse? Or would you kill a stranger? As a result of this, 25% of the people they surveyed said that they would abandon their family for $10 million. And I hear the quiet whispers, just give me that offer. Some people would abandon their church for $10 million. Some people will abandon their church just because they can't get along with somebody else. I was reading online last night, and there's a young lady who is bidding her virginity on the internet to the highest bidder. And so far, somebody has offered her $3.6 million for her virginity. That's the highest offer that she's got so far. Now, you realize what we could do with $3.6 million? Yeah, we'll come and we'll pray for you that you keep your virginity, and we'll take the money and use it for the glory of God. But some people, 23% of the people would become a prostitute for a week for $10 million. 16% said that they would leave their spouse for $10 million. And unbelievably, 7% said that they would murder a stranger. And you can see the documentation right there for $10 million. So what is that saying? That's saying that some people's loyalty can be bought. That if I find somebody that I like more than you, I'm willing to sacrifice my loyalty to you. I'm not going to be loyal. I'm not going to be faithful. I'm not going to have allegiance to you anymore because I found somebody that I like more. And so you give up your loyalty. And some people's loyalty can be bought. Man, God give us some mighty men that David had who have that unswerving commitment to just hang in there and are willing to break through the Philistines to get a cup of cold water for the one they're in a relationship with. You know, I think that, you know, it amazes me sometimes when, and I realize why professional athletes do this, and, you know, you don't much blame them for why they do it, you know, but guys leave teams, and they go to another team where they're getting more money. So here they were playing for the Super Bowl one year. Everybody's fired up, excited. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. And now I get a million more offer. What happened to all that loyalty? What happened to all that allegiance? It shifted. What was the cause of the shift? Money. Money. And once again, I understand because the life of a professional athlete, especially football, is not very long. So they got to make it while they can. So I'm not being hard. I'm being realistic. But actually, how do you change your allegiance that quick? And yet, and still, we can even remove the professionalism out of it and just ask the question: how can we as individuals change our allegiance and change our loyalty? Can it be bought with a price? And then finally, we see that loyalty is demonstrated when a person gives all to follow another individual. Look what Ruth says here. I love this. She says in verse 16, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part thee and me." You know, I praise God for my wife. My wife is a godly lady, and my wife has been one that has been with me from the time we got married. I tell people, I've been married twice. I married my wife over 30-some years ago, and we renewed our vows. I saw some people. But, as many of you know, my wife is Native American, and when she married outside of her culture, that she gave up all rights to go back and, you know, own any land or be a part of, you know, ownership of anything out there. And as I read this verse right here, it just makes me have a special appreciation in my heart for my wife to see what she gave up to be with me. And that's loyalty. You know, that's loyalty. I mean, she could have hung in there and said that, you know, I've got too much at stake here on the reservation, and, you know, I'm not willing to give up what I have here. But she let it go. And not only that, but I praise God that, you know, in our marriage, we've had to move several times. And each time the move was based upon where I was being led to go, but where we were being led to go as a family. And my wife, she didn't come kicking and screaming. She came supportive and encouraging. And I thank God for that. And you don't know how special that makes me feel, that someone would sense that loyalty and be that loyal to me. And I just want to encourage us, and that's a challenge to me as far as my loyalty and my loyalty to my wife and my loyalty to others, that if we are going to be in a relationship and we are going to exercise loyalty, that sometimes there may be that whole idea of giving up our rights and our willingness to stand up and shake our fists to say, I'm independent and I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, in order to follow another person. As you look at Ruth, as I close here today, look at four things in the notes that she gave up. She gave up her freedom. Where you go, I will go. She gave up her home. Where you lodge, I will lodge. She gave up her nationality. Your people shall be my people. And she gave up her religion. Your God will be my God. What a powerful statement. What a powerful example of loyalty. And even though it seemed like Ruth had given up a whole lot to be loyal to Naomi, in the long run, she was blessed for her commitment. First of all, she was blessed with a godly husband whose name was Boaz. And secondly, something that I'm sure any woman would want to have the right in eternity to talk about is to say that I was in the line of the Messiah, that I was the mother of Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who was the father of David, and that we know that our Savior and our Messiah came from the lineage and the household of David, and that Ruth will be able to say through all eternity that she was in the line of the Messiah. Why? Because of her loyalty to her mother-in-law. And yet and still, her loyalty was beyond that of her mother-in-law, but her loyalty, as we see, was even to her God, where she said that your God will be my God. What a blessing, and what a powerful message for all of us. Loyalty in relationship.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Building Trust in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the demonstrations of loyalty in relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the demonstrations of loyalty in relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the demonstrations of loyalty in relationships, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.